Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefits. Negative thoughts, pessimist calls. I'm an optimist, rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Remember, principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of I got my eyes on the prize. I won't lie. Fight for my faith is a lie. There is a reason why.
Because of the price you pay.
Situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to discourage me or fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far and the evidence of things that I've not seen.
I'm gonna go higher. Don't tell me that I can go higher. There's more than I desire. I'm on fire. I'm gonna go
in the world.
got to hold on to God and change in hand. I know when I'm growing older, my aim is to get more bolder, so my life can be a light, guiding youth to Christ.
Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. I'm filling in the gap for Assistant Pastor Brother Michael Smith. He'll be in momentarily. We have three simultaneous broadcasts that are streaming on our radio program. We'd like to give you the opportunity to choose and to pick where and what you want to listen to. On LiveDeliveranceInternetRadio.com, we're having Randall Positive, Island Records producer Jermaine Edwards with his new music. Tomorrow we're going to be running for our pastor's anniversary all-day special for Apostle Andrew J. Scott in Kingston, Jamaica. Also at 9 o'clock at livedeliverance.com where it says live stream, you can watch Apostle Andrew J. Scott live in Kingston, Jamaica, or www.livedeliverance.com, same thing where it says live stream. You see it says YouTube. You can hit that. I'm going to go in about 5 minutes. We're going to be talking about demonic spirits during the holidays and how these evil spirits, holidays and spirits that attack, and how they crank up the attack with you if you don't understand spiritual warfare. And in our blog talk segment, Assistant Pastor Steve Lee here at Blog Talk Radio. You can call in error code 646-378-1857. Hit option number 1. We now give the mic so he can bring the word. Pastor Steve Lee.
Amen. Thank you, Apostle. Brothers and sisters, again, we're just going to get in the Word and try to find the path that God has already ordained for us so that we can enjoy the victory that's in Christ Jesus. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place in this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life now as I share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men, teaching us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Today, beloved, we're going to do part 2 of In Him We Move. Because I was listening and hearing things from God, and he was asking questions about the location of his body. Because if the body doesn't know where they are, they cannot get to the place they're supposed to get to, because sometimes we haven't left first base. We are supposed to be connected. We are supposed to be those that function in unity. I was praying this morning and I heard that part of it that in Psalms 133 where it says, behold, look into, that's what the word behold means, look into how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And at the end of that verse, that chapter, he says, for that's the place where he has commanded life. He has commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. So, just so that we break it down, the blessing, not a blessing, brothers and sisters, the blessing is commanded to come out of life. And life is connected to unity. And the body of Christ does not function in unity. We have so many fragmented parts going in diverse directions that we don't have the witness or testimony that should be ours so that men can see our good works and glorify God. They should see the good works of the body, not good works of the finger, not good works of the mouth. Okay, we're going to have to understand this in order to bring to pass the desire that God wants. You know, he's not coming back, beloved, until we look like him. He is seated in heaven until all of the enemies are put under his feet. If an enemy is allowed to function under what is known as the body of Christ, he can't come back. Remember, he's coming back for a church. He's not coming back for churches. He's coming back for a church that does not have spot, a wrinkle, a blemish, or any such thing, but that it would be holy and without blame. Okay. Oh, this is not where I was headed, but if the body is going to be holy and without blame, that would mean also, by definition, it would have to be holy without excuse. Okay? Without blame means that there is no possible way accusation can be leveled against the body, because the body functions as one. And we've got to grow up past the things of times of finger pointing and isolationism. We're going to have to come to the place where unity flows, because that is the place where he commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Part of my job is to help the body of Christ grow, not just one part, but the whole body. And that phrase is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. You can turn there with me if you would. You can also write down Acts chapter 17, verse 28 through 30, and 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 8. And we can study that together and see if we can find out the location of his body. Verse 11 of chapter 4 in the book of Ephesians reads thusly: and he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now let's go back here and just look at some things. He says that Jesus had a plan, and his plan was birthed out of the same way that he, the Father, and the Spirit of God function. They function as one. Five tells us that there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Okay, well, I might have even said that wrong. I said they function as one. According to Scripture, he said these three are one. I mean, we've got a long way to go, beloved, if we're still thinking of how to function as one. Sometimes function can allow a connotation that's not true. It didn't say these function. It says these three agree as one. They are one. That's just a powerful place. The reason why we are still seeing in the earth the manifestations of things that we're seeing is because we have not understood unity and the life that comes out of unity, the commanded blessing. We haven't gotten that. Listen to what he said. He said he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and each of these offices are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'll underline this one. He says it's the body of Christ. It's not bodies of Christ. It's not sections of Christ. These fivefold offices are there for the edifying of the body. And it's going to function as, watch this, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. That just kind of blesses me. We're supposed to be finding a way to cause the faith that he deposited on the inside of each one of us individually to work as one. That we will stop the times of saying that that's not the way we believe it over here. I understand individual entry points, okay? Whatever ramp or whatever stream you got in to get into the flow of God, let's not make the stream a river unto itself. Let's make the stream one flow. That's what we saw in Genesis chapter 11. The God said this about unity. He said the people is one. Therefore, because of this, nothing that they imagine can be restrained from them, because unity produces life, or we can say unity gets things done. Unity causes you to arrive at your destination. Please understand, according to Ephesians chapter 4, this fivefold office that we are talking about, each one of them are to function to perfect the saints with an S, until we all come to the unity of the faith, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We can't separate the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So then how we do it over here has probably not been the paradigm that God was looking for, because he's looking for the whole thing to work as one. And I do understand that there are specific functions, because the hand doesn't do what the eye does. Got that. And the whole body is not an eye. It's not a mouth. Got that. But the body must become one. or it's going to still function as body parts detached. With that kind of a thought process, we never get to finish what he said, because here he said that all of the body parts from whom the whole body is fitly joined together. In verse 16, it says that the whole body, not half of the body, parts of the body, that the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. So then my supply, according to this paradigm, Ephesians chapter 4, my supply has to be included, not excluded. Okay? It cannot be a separate work. Oh, we got a long way to go, because we have separated this thing. I mean, I can think of about four divisions, sections, fractions of the Baptist church, Southern Baptist. You got the full gospel Baptist people. I mean, how many divisions? A missionary Baptist. Beloved, if you're going to belong to the body, you belong to the body. Find out here the directions, mandates that God is wanting to move the body forward, not to build a tower for one group of people to collect and never reconnect with the body. That's unfortunately what we've done, a Southern Baptist. And you know, when you know that there's a Southern Baptist, there has to be a Northern Baptist, and the two are not one. And I get that your preferences are the thing that causes the separation. But Jesus wanted your preferences to cause unity, not separation. Listen, that even said, till we all come to the unity of the faith. But in order for that to happen, fivefold has to stop separating out and become part of. They have to understand that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are all there for the same exact cause. Okay, if we're going to try to do it the way we're thinking, he would have said it like this. And he gave some apostles for the work of the ministry, some prophets for the edifying of the body of Christ, some evangelists for the, you see, he didn't say that. He said all of the parts would be for the same function. Amen. Amen. And notice how he connected it, that we should go to the place of a perfect man unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, okay, I'm just trying to read it as it's stated. He's trying to get us to function as one. And when we function as one, we will open up avenue to the full measure of the stature of Christ. We will understand that one of us cannot get there by ourselves. That together we will come to the place of a perfect man. Might want to circle that, beloved. He didn't say perfect men. He said a perfect man. Okay? And he says, when you do this, when you think this way, watch what you stop. Okay? Because if you stop this, if you do this, you'll stop verse number 14, that we henceforth no more be children. If I don't understand the unity that I'm called to, if I'm not located in my place, in him we move. Okay, see, it said in him we move. It didn't say in him I move. It said in him we move. He connected us. He gave life to the one, to the unit. He's not giving life to the parts. You know, even when we saw the parts in Ezekiel, when the dead, when the bones, these dry bones, notice the question was, will these dry bones, can these dry bones live? It did not say, can these dry bones stand up individually? Because as you know, each bone reconnected and became useful. Disconnected, they were not useful. They were, in fact, dead bones, dry bones. But when the Spirit was breathed on those bones, cohesion took place. Unity took place. Purpose was fulfilled. Okay. It says, look, if we don't understand this, we will function in the place that we find ourselves as children that are tossed to and fro. We will find ourselves children that are carried about with every wind of doctrine. Wow, I don't see that these children separated without unity, I don't see a way for them to fulfill their purpose because they are carried about by every wind of doctrine. They are tossed to and fro. Did you catch that? He says, if we don't have the understanding of unity, cohesion, then we will be children tossed to and fro. I just don't see how you're going to get purpose executed if you are over here sometime and over there sometime instead of walking from here. Come on now. Instead of walking, he said they were tossed to and fro. He did not say they walked by purpose. They were tossed to and fro. How many things, just so that we get it, how many things do you think you miss being able to put your hands on because you were tossed here or there instead of walking through the situation, taking each step on purpose so that you don't have to come back and repeat, but you can move as one throughout whatever the faces of the opposition are. But you will not be carried about. Again, if you're carried about, that means purpose is not being executed by you. You're just going over here sometime, over there sometime. And whatever is the order of the day, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And this wind of doctrine comes by the sleight of men. Notice what just happened here, body of Christ. While we're not coming to the unity of the faith and the fullness of the stature of Christ, notice that we're not listening to God anymore, directed by God anymore. When you are functioning in these individual pockets, you are going to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, by what men do, say, think. And they're going to have these thoughts with cunning craftiness, because all they do in these positions of sleight, cunning craftiness, is they lay in wait to deceive. But if we would function as the body of Christ, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher would stop the deception that's picked us off and made us immobile, made us unsuccessful. Come on, I'm just reading the scripture. I didn't add anything there. He doesn't want us to be children that are tossed. He doesn't want us to be children that are carried. Well, that's interesting. Okay. Wow. I mean, you can't even go up here. He said children. You know, we're supposed to, okay, come on now, come on, come on, come on. See, he just told us up here that he wants us to be a perfect man. If we don't understand that, then we're going to function as children. We didn't even get a chance to grow up. When you are a child, responsibility is diminished. You do not give children the same responsibility you give a man. I'm just reading it, y'all. See? I'm not trying to diminish anybody's role. I'm trying to cause us to accomplish the one role that he gave us. That is that we should come unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness. But if you're going to continue to be separate, not united, then you're going to operate as a child without full responsibility. But he wants us to speak the truth in love. He wants us to grow up in him in all things. Come on, y'all. Grow up in him in all things. We cannot be children as it relates to forgiveness. We have to grow up in him in that thing. We can no longer be children in our emotions. We have to grow up in him in that thing. Emotions do have a place in the body of Christ. They are not supposed to be the lead. They are supposed to be the things that we use to understand and gauge joy that has been released from God because of fulfillment. Joy is not supposed to be something that we're supposed to be able to partake of if the thing has not been completed. That's why Jesus said, after we had done things correctly, now you can enter into the joy of the... You didn't enter into the joy before completion. And here, most of us are trying to do things that make us experience joy. Do what he said. When you get what he said done, he will then tell you, go to the next phase. Go to the place where joy can now be made full. Not just joy can be dabbled with. See, that's what we've done, beloved. We've just gone and just toyed with joy and emotional response instead of going to the place of completion, fulfillment, and then our joy can be made full. Okay, just some thoughts. Put that out there for you. But you will be grow up in him in all things, and all of these things will be connected to the head. Notice the whole thing doesn't function if unity does not allow the head to be the source. I didn't say, oh, good God, this is not a figurehead. This is the literal head. All information, inspiration, abilities comes from one central place, the head. You didn't get, this was not rumored information. This was not, I think God said. This was direct information from the head. Notice you don't even get the direct information from the head unless unity happens first. Come on, y'all just read this. Even... which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined and joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. If we're going to continue to be separate in our thinking, not having directions that were central from him that says, do it so that we can become one, not do it so that I can get my part done. You know, my dad used to... do things and give instructions. And I had a younger brother that was a younger brother. And younger brothers want to do what younger brothers want to do. They don't want to do what responsibility says do. They want to do whatever they want to do at the time they want to do it. So then here I am trying to get things done. I had ulterior motives and objectives. Got that. But my objectives were not my younger brother's objectives. I knew that if I hadn't finished what Dad gave me responsibility for, I couldn't go where I wanted to go. So then when he didn't want to do it, for whatever the reason, I would have to do it because of the directive You understand what I'm saying? If this work is not done, we don't get to go. All right, y'all. If we don't get together and finish the work that God gave us to do, we don't get to go in his presence because he's waiting till all enemies are made his footstool. Not the enemies of the hand, the enemies of the foot, the enemies of the, you see what I'm saying? We have to come to the place where unity causes us to make all of his enemies under his feet. Amen. It is no, I did my part. That wasn't my part. Yes, it was. We have to all come to the full stature, unto a perfect man. Because that's the only way that it's going to work. Because we have to be fitly joined together. That's just a powerful statement right there. It didn't say kind of joined. Sort of, I'm going to do it your way. No. He said fitly joined. In other words, there are no gaps between the connectivity that we have. There are no Monday gaps from Sunday's directive. Well, I know he said that, but see, that's a Monday gap. That's a parking lot gap. You just got through hearing the word, and before you could even get to the car, you were trying to take it apart. No. These were the instructions. There is no gap. It's fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Oh, Lord Jesus. It says you're going to be fitly joined together by and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Notice he did not say that which every joint inspects.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they need to do. No. It's my job to supply, not to inspect. I supply. That's all I'm responsible for. I ask God how to do more, to increase, to release favor in the behalf of those that might not have executed the part that makes motion happen. I don't say why I'm not, we haven't moved, body of Christ. I say, no, I'm going to ask for favor, grace, so that we can move. If I find that we're not moving, then I'm going to allow the oil of the Holy Spirit to cause motion. You know, when you got something that's stiff, that doesn't move, if you put some oil on it, it'll start moving. It'll start functioning. Mobility will happen again. Hallelujah. But here I am. I'm not putting the oil of the Spirit on it. I'm not putting the love that God has shed abroad in my heart on it. I'm rather going to go ahead and tell what they're not doing. Okay, that's not what he said do. He said that we're supposed to be fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. That then I can, I'm trying to get past this, but it's just so good. By that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. He just took away all that judgment. He said, if you want the thing to move, it's going to move according to the effectual fervor working of every part. If your part is not moving as it should, then you can't demand other parts to move because it's going to move according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. And none of your parts are supposed to be inspected. None of your parts are supposed to be condemning. None of your parts are supposed to find frustration. Your part is to make increase. Come on, just there it is right there. Make increase of the body. He did not say take away from the body. He said make increase. Supply. Don't deny, supply. If I'm going to talk about someone not doing something, whatever that is, for whatever reason I see it, I'm no longer supplying, I am now denying. Because this only works by according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. You act, when you see something, you have to say, okay, good, I'm going to release grace now instead of accusation. Because I'm not denying the flow, I am supplying the flow, grace is going to be given. grace is going to be released. Prayer is going to happen now. Now, Jesus was full of grace and truth, and of his grace we are going to partake the fullness of his grace. So then, if I'm going to take the fullness of his grace, and he ever liveth to make intercession, if I see something not working in the body, that grace should be released through prayer. Amen. I don't have time to complain. I'm supposed to supply. I'm not the one that's supposed to deny the flow by getting the works jammed up with my opinion. Okay. Really, that was not where I was headed, but we got to grow up. I'm here to assist and insist, and for that, I will persist. Our job is to assist one another, work with one another, insist that the grace that God has afforded us is used accurately. So I'm just going to refer you back to, yes, you can do it, because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. The one that is full of grace that we're supposed to partake of, I'm going to insist that you go back to that place of grace and be filled with that grace. So that the motion that your part is supposed to supply, you'll do it, because I just gave you some of my grace to cover what I didn't see motion happening. Sometimes what we do is we assist the enemy and resist the Lord. We're not supposed to assist the enemy. We're supposed to resist him. So opportunities, temptations to judge, we're not going to take those. We're going to let those go. We're going to assist the Lord, and insist that grace be given to the part that does not have motion. Okay. In him we move. In Acts chapter 17, there was an interesting thing that I saw there. And you can turn there, Acts chapter 17, verses 28 through 30. This is when Paul made a dissertation to a group of people that did not understand what God wanted them to do. Watch this. For God stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now notice what they were doing. They were trying to worship a God that they didn't know, because it says this was what they wrote as an inscription, to the unknown God. Beloved, that's not good for you to try to worship a God that you don't know. God wants you to know him, and he wants you to know him intimately. He has invited you into his very presence so that you can talk to him, receive instruction, so that you will know how to execute whatever it is that he's placed in your heart to do with excellence, not in ignorance. They were worshiping, but they were worshiping a God that they did not know. Whom you therefore ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither worship with men's hands, is worship with men's hands. That's a good one to just look at, y'all. He says, God that made everything, that's because he is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not dwell in temples made with hands, neither is he worshipped with men's hands. So then, I understand your avatar, what you're working in, whatever field that is, and that should be an extension of worship. But what you do is not your worship. What you do is an extension of your worship. It is not the totality of it. Because if I only worship him with my hands, my heart's not involved in that. If I only worship him with my hands, my character is not involved in that. I'm supposed to worship the Lord God with all my heart, all my strength, all my mind. You see what I'm saying? See, worship includes all, not just a part. So he says that he's not just worshiped with men's hands, as though he had need of anything, seeing that he gave his life to all and breath to all things. And he made one blood of all nations, for men to dwell upon all the face of the earth. And he determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, and happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, and in him we move, and in him we have our being. As certain of your own prophets, poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not think that the Godhead is like unto gold and silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. It's interesting that he said he's going to judge the world here in righteousness. And we'll quickly hear people quote, well, you know, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Yeah, he didn't leave you that way. That's why it says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that Christ has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Okay, so then he's going to give you his righteousness so that he can then judge you by that righteousness. But if we don't want him to be Lord of all, and I'll just say it, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. If we don't want him to be a Lord of all, then we want to present our own righteousness. And if you do that, please know, it's going to come up filthy. He didn't want you to present your righteousness. He wanted you to be in his righteousness. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, those that blessed are they, in power to prosper are they, that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Those are the ones that's going to be filled. Did you hear that? He said, if you can hunger and thirst for it, he will provide it. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Notice he did not say, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall make it. He said, you will be filled. To be filled came from a source that wasn't you. To fill yourself up with something is a different thing. Because if you hunger and thirst for righteousness and you can't provide it, how would you be filled then? Uh-huh. But if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, which only comes from him, then him can fill me. In Matthew 6:33, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then things will be added to you. He did not say then things will be created by you. In times past, God winked at this kind of thinking, but now he has commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he has already appointed a day. Time's running out, my beloved. Time's running out. He's already appointed a day that he would judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he hath ordained. And because of this, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised that man, Jesus, from the dead. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. See? It's not what you can do. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So we're going to have to move forward in this righteousness. If we don't move forward in righteousness, then we cannot fulfill our job, which means that he can't come back for the completion of judgment, because he's appointed a day. We're supposed to get it done by this day, but we're not growing in righteousness. We're not hungry for righteousness. We're not wanting to be filled in righteousness. So then we are at a stalemate, and the body of Christ is not supplying what it should supply. We've got to get to the place where we do what Jesus said. Moving forward is what we're required to do. If you're not moving forward, then you are moving backwards. There is no neutral ground. You're supposed to be hungering and thirsting for righteousness so that you can be filled, so that you can be supplied, so that you can then move. Jesus told us to occupy till he comes. The word occupy is a military term that means possess. It's totally different from the word claim. Occupy is not claim. Claim has the connotation of implied rights. Okay? Whereas occupy speaks of habitation, cultivation, exploration, domination, and maintenance. So if I'm going to occupy, I'm going to have to do something with the thought processes that God gives me. If someone comes into your property uninvited, what do? You kick them out. Why? Because you occupy. You reestablish borders. You set up better defense strategies. You become proficient at the way you employ your weapons. God used to wink at this, but now he's commanded us to repent. I'm going to just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll wrap it up in this passage. If someone comes in that's not supposed to be there, then you reestablish borders, set up better defense strategies. You become proficient at the way you employ your weapons. Some of us don't understand. That's true, sir. We don't understand that one of our weapons is unity. Wow. There's a mouthful right there. One of your weapons is not to separate yourself. One of your weapons is unity. That would stop judgment right quick, wouldn't it? Because every time I judge, I am separating. I am making the difference between you and me. But when I function out of the position of unity, then I will pray that you and I will arrive at the same place because we are connected that way. God's not coming back for an individual. He's coming back for the body. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I mean, if you, again, that removes judgment, because he says that you're supposed to bring every thought into captivity till your thoughts obey Christ. And you're supposed to have in readiness a revenge for all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So if you're not doing it, then you can't judge others who are not doing it. He said the only time that you can have a revenge for disobedience is when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay? And we're still here, so that means that ain't happened. So leave the revenge up to God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It doesn't belong to you, no way. But notice what he said. He says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not natural. But they are mighty through God. Notice he connected them back to God. In fact, okay, if you wanted to know something, wow, that's true, sir. He disconnected them from you and reconnected them to God. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. They are not mighty by yourself. Amen. And these are the way the weapons work. They're mighty through God, through pulling down of strongholds. Okay? They pull down strongholds. A stronghold is a place that has been set up by the enemy. And the stronghold generally happens here spiritually in the intellect, the mind, where arguments happen. You can look up the word stronghold, and it's G2192. And it was interesting that one of the things that it brought in as a reference was echo. Strongholds, things that are repeated over and over and over in your thought process. And you hear them so much, you think that, well, this must be true because I keep hearing it. No, you need to bring down the stronghold, connect yourself to the place where the weapons that you employ are mighty through God. And if you stay there, they will then, those weapons, pull down arguments. Places that you have said it's okay to act like, think like, be like. The only conformity that you're supposed to have in your life is you're supposed to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. That's all. That's what God is waiting for. When you go to the place where, like Christ Jesus, you will say, oh, Father, is there any other way to do this? Wait a minute, what am I doing? Nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. See, that's what he wants you to do. He displayed that for us because in his flesh he was suffering. And because he was suffering, he said, I need to have a better reference point. Not my will. My will is to get rid of the suffering. That's what my will is. But that doesn't bring me to victory. That doesn't bring me through purpose. So nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Except I drink of this cup that's bitter to me. I will not do your will. Because I will be insistent upon my arguments being heard and then thinking that they're justified, that my actions can then flow from that position. Jesus said, no. You're going to have to remember that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the place where they will pull down strongholds. They will cast down imaginations. I love that he put an S on that. Because I know sometimes I can, in my mind, I can think a thing all the way through, and it's so vivid and accurate in it that it built upon itself. It wasn't just a one thing. It gets to be, well, this adds to that and makes it so much real to me. Imaginations. He says that if I understand my weapons, that they are mighty through God, they will pull down arguments, and they will cast down imaginations, and they will cast down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God or against what God uses as right and wrong. Not the knowledge about God, the knowledge that God uses. The knowledge of God. You're going to have to dig in, brothers and sisters. You're not going to have to. This is not a little surface ministry here. This is warfare. You do understand that warfare is going to be for things that are not polite. God gave us weapons. Weapons are not for polite use. They are there to annihilate the enemy. We need to hear that there will not be a peace treaty with our arguments. There must be an occupy till I come thought process. There has been a declaration of war by your commander in chief. Specific orders were given in how territory was to be taken. Utterly destroy. This phrase of utterly destroy is used 12 times in the Bible. 12 is the number of spiritual authority. That's why he wants you to occupied till he comes. Not implied rights where I claim that this is my, no. He said occupy, use it, become military in your thought process. That I'm going to take over. He said that I'm supposed to pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God until I bring into captivity every thought. This is not for the faint of heart, beloved. This is warfare. In warfare, there are going to be casualties. Casualties point to a specific victor. They become stepping stones to the path of possession. The ultimate victory is because casualties have happened. Something had to die. My way of thinking, my preferences, they have to die. Casualties become landmarks that give us proper orientation and coordinates for the place of occupation. When I occupy, I can set up the thing that my commander-in-chief wants to be installed in that place. When there was no peace, I have peace. I'm a peacemaker, and I go and install peace in that place. Where there was no victory, I am the one that has been given victory, and I install victory in that place. Because the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God. They pull down strongholds. Please notice that if I disconnect from God, that my weapons become weak and no longer mighty. I will not be able to pull down or dismantle the places that the enemy has built up. I will put pictures on the wall where the enemy has put up obstacles. That's good, sir. I will put up familiar things, things that look good and pretty to me, and I will not see the enemy behind the picture that I just put on the wall. I am in bondage, and I put pictures on the wall in my bondage so that I can become more comfortable there. I need to cast down those imaginations, those things that I've been looking at that take me away from the weapons that are mighty through God and pull down every imagination. So God is asking us to stop being double-minded. You do know that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And God says, let not that man even think he shall receive anything of the Lord. If I'm going to occupy, then everything that's not like God has to leave. I cannot live in a place with righteousness and unrighteousness abiding in the same place. I have to occupy, and I can only occupy it with righteousness. Through righteousness, I cannot occupy it in unrighteousness. And if I choose to allow my weapons to become weak by separating from my mighty God, then I will not be able to cause the place of my bondage to be confronted and then conformed. I'll just put up pictures. I'll paint the walls. I'll throw carpet on the floor. As opposed to saying, no, this does not belong. I am only supposed to have what my God provides. Come on. Please understand that. In times past, God used to wink at this. But I am only supposed to live by that which God supplies. Man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall not live by that which is natural. Man is supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man is supposed to live by that which God supplies. And when I purpose in my heart to occupy, then I am saying that now my God supplies all my need through his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because I am determined to bring all of my thoughts into the place where they obey him. So when my thoughts obey him, he can now supply all of my needs. Please connect the dots, brothers and sisters. If your God is going to supply all of your needs, then you need to remove any other avenues that would cause you to think that that supply is going to be sufficient. Paul came to the place where he understood that it's only grace that's sufficient. Lies are not sufficient. That's good. That's good. The devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And lies will never be sufficient. Only grace is sufficient. And Jesus is full of grace and truth. And I'm supposed to partake of his grace, of his fullness. I'm not supposed to partake of lies, deception. Takes me back to Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him, in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. See, this is what he wants us to do. That you walk henceforth not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, but you have not so learned Christ. If so be you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. For in him we move. In him we live. In him we have our being. My God supplies all my need. My intellect does not supply my need. My might does not supply my need. For he said, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my spirit. This is the place where we have to entrench ourselves. This is why the renewing of our minds is mandatory, so that we can then bring every thought into captivity, that we can cast down imaginations, that the weapons of our warfare would be mighty through God. And then we can enjoy the victory that he's promised and that he's given unto us. But the choice is yours. Which will you choose? Your way? Or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and bless you for the word that you gave us to cause us to be established and settled, cause us to occupy till you come. That, Father, we will not allow our emotions to rule or to reign, but, Father, we will become unmovable and steadfast in your promises, knowing that you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Have you not said it, shall you not make it good? Have you not spoken it, shall you not bring it to pass? Thank you, Father, that we can count on that, that you are a God of integrity, that you are the faithful God, and that because of that, you will not leave us nor forsake us. You will not give us over to the enemy, but you will strengthen us with might in the inner man so that we can stand, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, dressed appropriately, having on the helmet of salvation, thinking accurate thoughts, not thinking selfish thoughts that cause us to separate from your love. Father, thank you that we can allow you to build us up so that we will win every time, all the time, for you always cause us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We give you praise, we give you honor and glory, committing it to you as done in the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
All right, folks, let's get ready to open up lines for commentary for tonight's teaching, starting with area code 352.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Area code 352. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you, Jesus.
Area code 845.
Amen.
Bless you, God.
bless you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Brother, what you were saying is definitely right by the screen, about warfare, about us digging in. I'm going to have to press in, considering that, you know, it is warfare when it's not something to play with. It isn't a game. And we could really get to that place where we start to notice that or realize that. Maybe we can start to get everything because it is serious. So we have an adversary, Satan, and we have devils that really want to take us out. And on top of that, we have to worry about our flesh, and we also have to worry about the people that Satan is working through, you know, attacking us. So it really is serious, and I think, you know, as far as pressing in, I think I have to do that. I think I've been, you know, just feeling God, like, tugging on me, just to dig in and to really, you know, press in deeper in his way that he wants me to approach that. So I totally agree, brother. Words definitely bless me tonight. They always do. They're very motivating and very encouraging, brother. And I'm always enlightened whenever you speak, brother. As, it's just truth and his word. And God's word is, you know, pure. And it's just the best.
Amen. 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 I just want to encourage you that in the fight, a couple of things to remember. And the first thing that reminds you is that the fight, or the way it says in the Bible, the battle is not yours, but the Lord's.
Yeah.
So then how do I allow myself, cause myself to put my heart in that position? That the people that come against me, the way it says in the Bible of Romans, it says that the reproaches, I think it's 14, the reproaches that fell on you fell on me. So then since they fell on him, then I go, okay, wait a minute. I need to stop taking this personal. Because when I take it personal, I just put down some of my weapons. Okay? I'm not armed in the whole armor of God now. I become armed in the whole armor of me, hollering and screaming that I have on the armor of God. If I have on the whole armor of God, then I will take that position and utilize it. If I don't do that, I'm going to take my armor and frustrate myself. Okay? David didn't do that when he entered into battles. And please note David's, he was called the man of war. So take note from David's positions and all the things that he was doing. David said, I cannot go into this battle with Goliath, biggest thing that he'd ever faced, without testing my armor. Okay? So then what has to happen is that you have to find, don't go and fight the biggest demon because you know it's there. have confidence in God in the little things, and then they will take you that same road, because the battle is still going to be the Lord's, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
So I want you to think about that, because what we do, and I understand that's just the way we do it. We want to annihilate the devil. Let's kill him, okay? All I do, my job is to resist it, okay? I ain't got to kill him. I can just resist it. God's going to handle that. And if, I know, and I get it. I understand it, because you get frustrated because he's the one, just like Isaiah said, is this the one that caused all men to be all dead? Is this the thing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're supposed to do, because the devil is a liar. But since we want truth and not the lie, let's just go back to truth and say, you know what, God? You said you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. So then I don't have to worry about it. Here is a point to think about. When they were in the ship and Jesus was at the top of the ship, in the hinder part of the ship, sleep, and they was saying, Lord, do you care that we die, we perish? And Jesus woke up and said, you just didn't hear what I said. He said, where is your faith? How is it that you have no faith? I told you to go to the other side. I didn't tell you you wasn't going to fight. I just told you where you were going to end up. You're going to end up on the other side. See? So I want you to think about that, because the devil will use anything to deceive, to cause your attention not to be stayed on him. The promise is he will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. He did not say he would keep him in perfect peace who's engaged in fighting. Okay, I just want you to see the difference. If I don't, you're going to fight. But I want you to fight from the position of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not I'm defending the Christ that's in me. He don't need to be defended. He can handle it.
Yep.
Okay? So I just want you to do that, because that is something that we, you know, it sounds noble, and I understand it. But it will cause you to take all of your energies, because the battle is not yours. It is the Lord. Amen?
Amen to that, brother. You're right, brother. All
right. Again, you're going to fight. Please fight. I just want you to fight in the right position. That's all. That's it.
Amen to that, brother. I mean, David always asked the Lord, he always asked him if he...
There you go. Good point.
Engaged.
Shall I go up? Uh-huh. That's good. That's very good.
Especially during warfare, it's very crucial that we
correct.
Consult with our master first.
Correct.
I mean,
that's good.
I mean, we don't know. You know, we don't really know what we think we know.
But notice that was not reactionary, was it?
Was that better?
That was not reactionary. Now that is intentional. Should I go up? That's not reactionary. That's intentional.
Yes.
That's very good. That's very good. Amen, my brother. Thank you.
Amen.
It's a pleasure.
Thank
pleasure.
You so much, brother. It's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure,
amen.
Brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Love you.
Mike, amen.
All right.
Love you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Shalom, guys.
Love you, brother.
Amen. 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 Thank you, guys.
Amen. All right. Well, that looks like that is all the calls that we have for tonight. Pastor Steve, anything else that you would like to add on before we close out for tonight?
No, just be strong in the Lord, my brothers and my sisters. And remember, the love of God will keep you in everything. Amen.
Amen. All right, folks. Thank you for tuning in to us here on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. If you've been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here, please feel free to send in love offerings or donations of any kind. Also, we would like to remind those that we do have the up-and-coming Apostolic A-School again. If you're interested, please email us here at overtoneveryone@gmail.com. And if I think that is all the announcements that I have for tonight. If it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here tomorrow night on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone.
Amen. Shalom.
Shalom.
My ideas and content must be a reality, so all my dreams can come to be a possibility. All success start with a decision just to try. Failing is inevitable if we do not fight. Knowing your purpose, meaningful life. Great execution bring confidence in your smile. If you believe, then you can fly. Don't waste no more time, you can soar up to the sky. Say I'm a winner. The morning sun to ensure what I said I do was really done. Come in my plans to God, no procrastination. All weakness in my life I have to overcome. No time for doubt, no time for fear. Problems will come, but I will let them disappear. I cannot slow down, I have to run. I see the time and I must.